What's up? I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast,
where we interview successful businessmen and women to let you in on why success doesn't have a single formula to follow.
We also have a little bourbon tasting along the way, because why not?
So guys, please enjoy this episode and let us know your thoughts at Bourbon and Business Podcast on Instagram.
Coming to you from the Bourbon and Business Studios here in the Capital Club in downtown Jackson, Mississippi, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast. How you doing this morning, Dakota?
Fantastic, Tyler.
Man, this is a beautiful view we have here at the Capital Club.
It is. It's a nice overcast day here. We've got a view of downtown Jackson skyline. And there's always new stuff going on down here, man. Like, there's new developments, new lofts, new everything. It's looking good.
Yeah, Jackson's looking great. It's coming along. They're doing a lot of work here. Tell our listeners about our sponsor, the Capital Club.
It is the venue space in downtown Jackson, Mississippi, and maybe even Jackson, Mississippi. It is on the top floor of the building that we're in, and they are recently renovating their rooftop space. They're going to have a great event space up there. They've got a great event space down here already. They have events. They've got membership pricing. They've got it all.
Yeah. So if you're one of our listeners, you say, hey, I want to go check the Capital Club out, go online and look at all their membership details. You can become a member. They have lunch here daily, and they also have a ton of other benefits from being a member. Just check it out. Great networking atmosphere, and we can't thank the Capital Club enough. Well, do you want to introduce our guest to us this morning?
I do. We have a special guest with us today, Kimberly Dandridge, corporate counsel for Amazon. Kimberly, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And then, Dakota, you want to introduce our bourbon to us?
Yes, we have Breckenridge Bourbon Whiskey, and it is actually from the Breckenridge Distillery in Colorado.
Nice. Well,
and it is whiskey with snow melt water from the Rocky Mountains.
I could taste the snow in it for sure.
Could you? Just that purity, right?
Yeah. But I will say, very good, very smooth whiskey. I'm going to have to give it an 8.7.
8.7, that's a strong rating. Yeah, very smooth.
Well, Kimberly, thank you for coming on today. We'd like to start this off. Just tell our listeners where you grew up and where you're from, and then how you got into the legal field and decided to become a lawyer.
Yeah, thank you. Well, first I'll say, guys, I'm super jealous. I should have went and bought and poured me some bourbon this morning. So I feel but that bourbon sounds wonderful. But thank you again for having me. I'm from Como, Mississippi, and I grew up in Como. A lot of people know Como for the Como Steakhouse. And grew up there. We don't have any stoplights. Very small town. My parents both were from the area. My dad was from Panola County. My mom was from Tate County. And so born in Memphis, raised in Mississippi, and just Southern girl through and through. Went to high school in Senatobia, and after high school, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do for college, but my family definitely wanted me to stay close. And so I took a couple of visits down to Oxford to visit Ole Miss when I was in high school. And obviously, you can't go to Oxford without falling in love with the campus. And so Ole Miss just felt like home, so I decided to go to undergrad at Ole Miss. Did 4 years at Ole Miss, was in the band, at marching band at Ole Miss. My first 2 or 3 years at Ole Miss, I did marching band. Had a really great experience, loved being in the band. Had a lot of close friends in the band still to this day. The band was a huge part of my experience my first couple years at Ole Miss, and continues today because some of my closest friends I met in the band while I was at Ole Miss, and just had a really great experience at Ole Miss. I studied journalism, loved the school of journalism at Ole Miss. It was just a really great it was pretty new as its own, like, individual school when I started at Ole Miss. And so we had just a very unique experience being in the School of Journalism. It felt like we were kind of in our own little world, little specialized school. And so it was kind of more like a family. And so I really enjoyed studying journalism at Ole Miss, and wasn't quite sure that I wanted to be a full-time journalist. Never, I thought it would be nice, but we had a graduation speaker at Ole Miss who gave our commencement for journalism, and he basically told us, like, you can go make more money serving fried apples at Cracker Barrel than you could be a journalist. And so I decided then that I don't think being a journalist is quite in the cards for me long term, but I really did enjoy studying journalism. I studied broadcast journalism, really enjoyed that. And so I wasn't quite sure kind of what I wanted to do with my degree, but I'd come across a couple lawyers growing up. There was one lawyer who was in my hometown. She was a Black woman who was the only Black lawyer that I knew growing up. And she kind of always was a kind of a role model for me. And she let me intern for her. And so I got an introduction to that when I was in high school. I would leave high school. We got out of high school around 12, your senior year. I would leave high school at 12, go to her law office and work for like 1 to 4, and just got a lot of great visibility into her being a lawyer and kind of being able to see myself in her, like, inspired me.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's kind of my first introduction to like law was like in high school. Yeah.
And so now you're practicing as a lawyer. Tell us a little bit about, so you have your own firm, is that right?
So I actually, when I was at Ole Miss, I met the law school dean. Dean Gershon at the time. And we, he really kind of gave me some really good advice. I told him that I was interested in being a lawyer. And he was like, you know, you've been here at Ole Miss, you've had good experiences here. He was like, my best advice is like, to really like be open about where you go to law school and, you know, go get as much experience you can, go see other places and like explore the world. And like, his advice was like really profound to me. I still remember the conversation I had with him. And I thought it was just, you know, he was the dean at the Ole Miss Law School, and, you know, he wasn't like trying to sell me on like, you know, staying at Ole Miss and like only, you know, getting all of my experience at Ole Miss. He was like, Ole Miss is a great place. If you decide to come here, we'd love to have you here. I think you'd be great at Ole Miss, but like, think about other things. And like, he really just inspired me to like think outside the box. And so I hadn't honestly thought about going to Texas Southern, which is where I went to law school, Thurgood Marshall School of Law. HBCU, Historical Black University Law School, and had not thought about it. But my cousin kind of introduced me to Thurgood. I'd never been to Houston before. I came down here on a whim with her on a random road trip. We decided to come down here and look at the law school. I stepped on the foot of the campus and like walked in the door and immediately, like, I just kind of knew it was the place. Like, we met with the dean of admissions and like everything, and it just felt right. And I was like, this is the place I want to be. The people here just seem like family, just from like day one. And so I decided to go to law school in Houston at Texas Southern. And so got to Texas Southern, and I wasn't quite sure what type of lawyer I wanted to be. I knew that I didn't want to do certain areas of law. And this is going to sound really funny when I come back to it later, but one of the areas of law that I knew I didn't want to do was like entertainment. And so we had first day of orientation, they asked all the folks, you know, if you want to be an entertainment lawyer, stand up. Literally our entire 1L class stood up because they wanted to be an entertainment lawyer. And I don't think many people knew exactly what exactly an entertainment lawyer was, but everybody in the room stood up. They asked if you wanted to be a criminal lawyer. You know, some folks stood up. They asked if you wanted to be tax and all these different areas. And like, I just remember I kept sitting. And they said, if you want to be a corporate lawyer, stand up. And I never really thought about it, but like, for whatever reason, I stood up. I was like, I want to be a corporate lawyer. That sounds great. And yeah, like, nobody else really stood up. And I was like, I think that's the area of law. I don't know much about it, but like, it just, I've always wanted to, coming from a small town in Mississippi, I've always had like these dreams of just like being in corporate. And like, I didn't have, you know, visibility to that growing up, like what corporate America was, but I saw it on the news. I saw it when I went to visit places like DC, that there was these corporate people in suits, and like, I always like wanted to know more about that. And I was always intrigued by it. And so corporate just sounded good. And I was like, I think I want to see what that's like. There aren't very many people that look like me in corporate from what I've seen on the news and what I've seen in real life. And that sounds like an interesting area to get in. And so I had this like interest and this curiosity about corporate. And so I knew 1L year that I wanted to explore corporate law. Also knew that corporate law was what I had heard, that the money was there. And, you know, if you started your own firm and you did criminal, like there was a lot of hustle and bustle that you had to do to get to yeah, be in a place and have that financial security. So I became very interested in corporate law. And in law school, I looked to opportunities to try to get more experience in corporate law. And so I can talk about a little bit about that. But like, that's kind of how my interest in corporate law happened. And also how my first introduction of like, I don't want to do entertainment, which now kind of comes back full circle. Because I'm actually an entertainment lawyer now, but it's just, so that's kind of a little bit about kind of how I decided to get in corporate. And then just the curiosity of corporate, the interest in it kind of drove me towards that area.
Well, I love your backstory, and I love how you got into law and your reasoning behind it. And I think it's important and an incredible story. What was your introduction to Amazon like? How was that? I've heard the hiring process there for like normal employees is what I'm going to call it, is kind of rigorous sometimes, especially being in the corporate suite, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think my whole career is like just how I've gotten different opportunities has had to be like unique and interesting. And like even like when I think about just getting into corporate in general, it's a very difficult area to get into on the legal side. And so I tell law students all the time that I talk to them now, like getting experience early on is so important. And it really starts at law school. So when you ask me, like, how did I get to Amazon? It really goes back to that first internship that I had in law school. So when I, a lot of folks, you know, fail to realize, like, if you really want a job out of law school, you really have to start preparing and gearing up to apply and also interviewing for those jobs in law school. So like,
That's so good. Yeah.
So, and I can talk a little bit about like just even getting the first intern, like how it led up to Amazon. And so my first internship, they had a BP Energy company had a internship here. They had an internship in Houston, and they hired 1L law students to come work in the summertime for 10 weeks. And it was a very competitive program. You got to shadow corporate lawyers at BP. BP, obviously, a huge energy company, a lot of history about BP, obviously, particularly in places like Mississippi, Louisiana. Obviously, we know BP very well. And so I saw the internship posting. I said, this sounds interesting. There were a couple other law students at our law school that had done the BP internship, like some senior law students that said, this is like the creme de la creme of internships. If you want to do corporate law, you need to at least try to get this BP internship. And so I really put my head down that 1L year and was like, okay, I got to get my application. I got to get my personal statement, my writing sample, all these things. I got to start going to the career center, getting my resume together to apply for this corporate internship. And so I applied for the internship at BP, interview. I ended up getting the internship. I was one of four. They hired four law students from across the country. I was one of the four that got to intern for BP. There were two of us based in Houston, one based in Chicago, and then one based in Alaska. So we were kind of scattered out, but that was my first introduction to corporate. And to be quite honest, I learned so much at BP because I didn't know what a corporate lawyer was. Like, I had no idea what in-house counsel lawyers did. And what I was introduced to at BP gave me a glimpse and like really solidified for me that I wanted to be a corporate lawyer. Shadowing those lawyers around for 10 weeks, being able to work on the things they work on, seeing how they manage outside counsel. That literally set the foundation for me being at Amazon. I mean, it really, like, I haven't thought about it until just now, but like when I think about it now, I'm like, it really did. Cause like what I was introduced to at BP is literally what I do today at Amazon. It's obviously a different company and different ballgame, but it's that foundation and that introduction was so important. And so I did that at BP. I also ended up interning at Union Pacific Railroad. I ended up getting a job there part-time in the legal department while I was in law school my last 2 years. I worked there 20 hours a week during law school, drive downtown in Houston, worked in their legal department as like a law clerk. That was another great introduction to corporate law. Worked primarily with corporate lawyers supporting them. And then one of the big caveats is that you cannot be hired as a corporate lawyer right out of law school. Most places require you to have law firm experience before you work at a big company. So before you can go to BP, before you can go to Amazon, when I was at BP, they told me very clear, like, we can't hire you right out of law school. But if you go to a firm, get the experience, you will be ready to come work for a company like BP. But we're introducing you to this and we're kind of giving you a stepping stone where you can put this on your resume and hopefully a firm will give you an opportunity. And so essentially that's what happened. And so I ended up my third year of law school, second year really, I started interviewing for law firms because I knew in order to be a corporate lawyer for a company like Amazon, Gap, or BP, I had to get law firm experience and I had to work for a big law firm. I couldn't go to a private law firm like a criminal firm. I had to go to Butler Snow, which is the firm that I ended up going to based in Mississippi. And so I had to go to a pretty large mid-sized firm to be able to get that introduction to law firm life and then go to corporate. So I ended up interviewing and I ended up becoming a lawyer for Butler Snow. I was in the transactional group there. I practiced real estate finance and restructuring. I was based in the Memphis office. So that was kind of the first step, kind of getting me ready to even be able to go to a place like Amazon. I had to get the law firm experience. And so at Butler Snow, I worked on agreements. I drafted, I worked with partners. I worked directly with clients and we were representing the businesses. And so did that and then got the law firm experience. And that kind of helped me get to my first business company, which was Gap. So I ended up moving from Memphis to San Francisco to join Gap Inc. Became a real estate lawyer for Gap, worked primarily on expansion of the Old Navy stores, did a lot of lease agreements and a lot of contracts. I had negotiated our first sponsorship deal with Athleta for Gap with the Olympic gold medalist Allyson Felix.
Oh, wow.
And so I did a lot of Gap was another like it really I mean, it was incredible opportunity. I never thought that like little old me from Mississippi could go be a lawyer for a big company like Gap, Fortune 500 company in San Francisco. Never even thought about moving to San Francisco. I had honestly never had only been to visit and to go see Gap. And so it was just like a wild random thing for me to like go from Butler Snow to be like, oh yeah, guys, I'm going to move to San Francisco and go work for Gap. And so that really, I think taking that opportunity and that risk of moving to San Francisco and going to Gap really just like, I mean, took my career in a totally different direction. And I'll fast forward because I know the question was about Amazon, but it's kind of, I can't get to Amazon without giving the backstory.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There and got to Gap, and you know, I worked on a lot of things. Like, I was doing a lot, I was speaking in different things, I was, you know, spearheading different things at Gap alongside my colleagues. And it was just an incredible opportunity. I had so many great mentors at Gap. The corporate lawyers there at Gap were just outstanding. I tell people all the time, like, Gap is one of the best places I've ever worked in my entire life. Like, I love that company so much, and it was just such a great place to get my feet wet as a corporate lawyer. So, that was my first experience of like being a business lawyer for a company in-house was at Gap. And how I got to Amazon was that, you know, I was doing well at Gap, and I, you know, I had a little bit of a presence on LinkedIn, I would say, and Amazon reached out to me on LinkedIn. A recruiter for Amazon reached out and said, hey, I think your resume is really impressive. I think that your bio is impressive. Like, we'd love to speak to you about opportunities at Amazon. I honestly thought it was a joke. So I'm like, I thought it would take me 10 years of practicing as a lawyer to get to a company like Amazon. And here I am 3 years out of law school and Amazon's reaching out to me on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And so it almost seems like spam sometimes when those people reach out like that.
Yeah, exactly. So one thing kind of led to another, and I ended up being at Amazon. I talked to them and interviewed. So that was a long way of answering how I got to Amazon. but yeah, that's kind of the story. They reached out to me on LinkedIn, and you know, I think that the rest is kind of history.
Yeah, no, that's an incredible story, though. I'm glad you colored that picture for us, because it tells a lot about why Amazon reached out to you with your history and the jobs and titles that you've held before, and you excelling in those. I mean, it makes perfect sense why they would want you to work for them too, because they want the best of the best, you know, and they've got the resources to do it.
Well, I think it's a good time for a bourbon break.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dakota, you want to give us your thoughts on it?
Breckenridge bourbon whiskey. I like it. It's very, very smooth. I think I can taste the purity too. Nah, I'm lying. But, I think it was really, really good. I'm right in the same ballpark. I'm going to go 9.0, though.
9.8.
Yeah.
So, really good whiskey. We want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, Cheers Vineyard in Gluckstadt. If you're looking to purchase some liquor in the Jackson metro area, go to Gluckstadt and go to Cheers Vineyard and tell them we sent you.
Yeah. And if John Thomas is there, he'll hook you up.
He will. He knows what he's talking about.
Yes, he does.
Well, tell us right now on the corporate side of things, Kimberly, What are some current legal challenges that are going on and maybe some opportunities that you see?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I think that obviously everybody right now, the topic of discussion across so many different places you hear constantly is AI. I think that that is just a topic of discussion that everyone's getting really smart, really fast on. I think it's super important. I think that just in general, like, you know, where our future is going and the intelligence and the capabilities. And I think those things are so important. And I think that to me, AI is an area that I think is super important for, you know, even if you're not practicing in those areas, every lawyer has to have some surface level or basic knowledge of the area, because it's just a growing area that everyone's talking about. And so, and it's something that's impacting, I think, every single business across the country. And so I think that AI is one area. Another area that I would say that's like really top of mind for me these days, and just in general, I think you ask any lawyer across the country, is privacy. Privacy is an area that I've never thought of myself as like a privacy lawyer. And I quite honestly did not want to be a privacy lawyer. But I think in order to be a good lawyer in this day and age, you've got to know the realms of privacy. You've got to be able to advise your business clients and your businesses on privacy laws, privacy regulations, privacy protections for customers. you know, how are we using data? How are we protecting data? What regulations are there that we're subject to that we have to have and have our systems in place to comply with those things? So I think that privacy for me has been one that I've been really diving deep on a lot of different fronts. And just really getting smart about, because it's so important. And it's something that it's really important, not just to lawyers, but it's important to everyday folks. You know, it's important for us to know what data companies have about us and how they're using that data and how they're putting mechanisms and systems in place to protect from data breaches and cybersecurity attacks. And so all of those things, I think, are super important. I think that you see every day in the news. I was watching something yesterday, and Comcast just had this huge Xfinity, you know, huge data breach. And so, you know, they're notifying customers and they're talking about how it happened and why. And like that very thing, I think is starting to become more and more common. I think we saw that a couple of years ago when it first started happening, that data breaches, you're getting a notification here, like that your account was breached. I think that companies have to do a better job of protecting consumers from those types of things happening. And I think it's, you know, I think lawyers play a huge role in that, and making sure that our businesses are aware of, you know, systems and also regulation and also kind of what the keeping an ear to what customers are asking for and all those things. So those are just a couple of things I'm thinking about and like I think that are top of mind for me. And I'm sure privacy and AI are top of mind for a lot of lawyers and also business folks just across the world.
Yeah, those are fantastic points. Yeah. And two huge areas. Completely agree with you there. Do you cringe when you see news headlines like that for the corporate counsel at Xfinity? And you're just like, oh man, that sounds like a big headache.
I mean, honestly, what makes me cringe is like, we're becoming so immune to it.
Oh,
like
man.
I was one of the customers impacted by it. And like, I didn't even think twice, but I'm like, all right, they got my information, but it's like, what can I do? Like, I kind of felt like helpless. So I cringe at the fact of like how like common it is and like how like, it doesn't even phase us. Like, I think, you know, if you'd have said maybe 10 or 15 years ago, oh, somebody has your address, your phone number, they know the last 4 of your social, your password, we'd all be freaking out and going crazy, running around in circles. But like now nobody even flinches at it. And I think that makes me cringe. It's like, I think people just, we think about it and it's like, well, they have it. What can they do? And like, we're just not concerned about it. And I'm like, maybe we should be. And I think that part of it to me, I don't really cringe with the lawyers. It's just cringing for us that we've become so immune to certain things. Like, it doesn't even phase us. Like, I know Xfinity has like a, I had to call and like get some service like upgraded at my house. And when I called, it was like, if you have questions about the data breach, please call this. And I'm like, people probably are not calling that number because people are just like me, it's like, oh, what can you do about it? You know? And so, I mean, and I do think that I thought that that was one of the things I will say that I will say that I thought was a positive for them was that they do have this line. It's 24/7. It's like a emergency response line right now where customers can call and basically inquire about information around the data breach. So when you call to their customer service line now, you get this message, this automated message. Like if you have questions or if you have concerns about the data breach, you can call this 24/7 Xfinity emergency response line. Not those like, oh, that's a nice thing to have. Like even though most customers probably are not using it, I do think it is a very customer friendly experience for them to have something set up, you know, where if I do have late night concerns, I mean, I'm, you know, staying up late and I'm thinking about the data breach at Xfinity, I can call this line and like somebody on the other side of that is going to talk to me about my concerns. So I thought that was a good move from them.
Yeah.
Well, and I think things are evolving so fast now. I mean, in the past 20 years, what we've seen from tech and from the internet that we really don't know what the implications of, you know, our data being out there, what that's going to look like 10, 15 years from now. It's just one of those things that we're going to have to live through and figure it out as we go. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's I think what you said is like spot on. Like, I think that we don't really know. And I think that that's the way you said it was just like perfect. I mean, I think that people are feeling very much like how I am. It's like, you don't know. And so you can't like react to what you don't really know. And so I think what it makes in that, go back to that point about what makes me cringe is like when 15 years down the road, like, are we all going to be experiencing somebody, you know, doing something that hurts like our credit scores or like, what is it actually, what are the long-term implications of this? Like, you know, and I think that, like you said, we don't know, but like, I worry about that. And I do think that it provides an opportunity though for, you know, I think a lot of people focus so much on putting protections and systems in place to protect against it. However, I actually think that maybe there's a different way to think about it. Like, what are the remediation methods that we're putting in place? Like, knowing that, let's take it from another view. Like, let's just imagine everybody's data is out there. What do we now do to make sure that systems are in place, that data is out there, that people can't misuse it? Like, are there things we can build into, like, you know, the credit bureau, et cetera, to say that if, you know, this happens, like, and I think there's some of that already going on with like identity protection, but I do think there's a little bit more that we maybe can be doing. And I think that we're trying to be proactive in protecting the data breach, which I think is important. But I also think we may need to be thinking, and like, maybe this is also on the tech side where folks like, you know, myself and others that are in these spaces come in, like, what actually should we be working backwards from? And I think the part that we can work backwards from is like, let's just suspect that everybody's data may already be out there. And right. Like, how do we protect knowing that fact? Because most of us now at this point have been impacted by some company has sent us some email saying that our password or something has been breached. And so if that's the case, how do we make sure and like prevent some catastrophe from 15 years down the road?
Right. And not, you know, penalizing someone and causing hardship on their life for something that they can't control. That's exactly. You know, that's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kimberly, we appreciate you coming on today. Got a lot of information from you. We always like to end this kind of, you know, with you being counsel for Amazon, we usually end this to tell our listeners, like, hey, you can go, you know, reach out to this person. They have a business that you can buy something from.
Yeah, you want
to
give your sell out right now? But, you know,
so. People are going to contact me saying, I have not gotten my packages. Can you help me?
Yeah,
it's always funny when I talk to little kids when parents tell their kids I work at Amazon, they say, Mommy, does she deliver packages?
Not quite.
Yeah,
not quite.
I had a buddy that worked for Amazon. I think he got a lot of text messages from us about packages and stuff like that. So. That's funny. Yeah, I guess, you know, if you want to know more about Kimberly, you can go look her up on LinkedIn, follow her there. And then, for all our listeners, we appreciate you tuning in this week. If you would go on social media and give us a follow and give us a rating on however you stream this podcast, and we'll see you next week. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
If you have any feedback or would like to be featured, reach out to us at bourbonandbusinesspodcast@gmail.com
or find us on Instagram at bourbonandbusinesspodcast.
Thanks again for listening.
Follow us for more content and info on the next episode.